This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. The faithful gathering in St. Peter's Square this hour in Rome, where the Vatican is leading a rosary prayer service to honor Pope Francis, who died earlier today. Francis, who became known as the People's Pope, traveled the world up until he was hospitalized recently for double pneumonia. The 88-year-old pontiff participated in Easter Sunday services and rode through St. Peter's Square greeting the crowd. Vice President Vance met with the Pope Sunday at the Vatican. ABC's Rachel Scott says President Trump has ordered flags be flown at half-staff across the country in his honor.
President Trump met with Pope Francis just once in 2017. He had called it the honor of a lifetime, but there were some disagreements in their relationship, specifically on immigration. Recently, when Pope Francis was asked about the president's mass deportation plans, he said if true, it would be disgraceful, warning that it would end very badly.
After his funeral, cardinals will convene and choose his successor. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The average price for a gallon of gas in Wisconsin fell under $3. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
Gas prices continued to fall over the last week, dropping 5.7 cents per gallon for an average of $2.95 today. This is 12.9 cents lower than a month ago and over 43 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Gas prices fell in over 40 states last week, but officials at Gas Buddy say the downward trend in prices is beginning to stall. Prices in 2025 have been much lower than the previous year. This is partly due to OPEC's ongoing restoration of oil production and continued uncertainty surrounding tariff policy and its potential impact on the global economy.
After reaching prices of over $3.21 per gallon last week, here in La Crosse, the average price is just above $3 per gallon to start the week. The Wisconsin Supreme Court ruled that a line item veto in the 2023 biennial budget did not violate the state constitution. With more, here's Civic Media's Savannah Tomei Olson.
When he was signing the state budget, Governor Tony Evers used his veto powers to lock in school funding for the next 400 years, and now the Wisconsin Supreme Court rules that was legal. Wisconsin is the only state where the governor has line item veto powers, meaning a governor can just cross out words or punctuation or numbers or parts of a bill and change its meaning. The court was split along party lines. Soon-to-be Chief Justice Jill Karofsky wrote that this move was within the bounds of the Wisconsin Constitution. Meanwhile, Justice Brian Hagedorn said the state constitution does not allow for this power. Historically, it's been used by both Republicans and Democrats. The governor's veto means that school funding will increase $325 per pupil per year until 2425. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
The court's dissenting opinion called the majority ruling, quote, a blow to the Constitution. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers clobber the A's. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers had a season-high 16 hits on the way to a 14-1 win over the A's. Milwaukee stole 9 bases in the game, 6 of them in just one inning. Both franchise records. The Brewers' Sal Frelick.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that every team and every catcher thinks that, like, whether we're stealing or not, just being at first base or second base, the pitcher and catcher thinking about you is a success.
Manager Pat Murphy.
I think that's one of the ways we win. You know, we win by collecting hits, taking walks, stealing bases, having the threat to steal, which gives you a better pitch to hit sometimes. And that's one of the ways we can beat you.
The Crew in San Fran tonight against the Giants. NBA, Bucks getting ready for game 2 tomorrow night after losing 117-98 Saturday to the Pacers.
I think we were late. We didn't have enough urgency. Going to game 2, hopefully we can improve that or we can change that. We'll see. But going to game 2, we're going to be better.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Still battling a brutal wind today, gusting up to 30 to 40 miles per hour under mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures stay mild though, scraping the low 50s before we warm things up to about the mid-60s tomorrow. But chances of scattered showers and some thunderstorms. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 46 degrees at our studios.
Confidence is knowing you're ready to handle whatever comes your way. That's what it feels like to take on your workday with Cintas. They make sure your AEDs are up to date Your fire extinguishers are tested and inspected. Your floor mats are cleaned and delivered. And your workwear looks good, feels good, and is freshly laundered with a Cintas Apparel Plus program. So are you ready to take on today? Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
Ross calling in.
Thanks for your show. I'm just wondering if we're watching or witnessing a legal system that, where what we thought was precedent is now going to be sort of cast away.
The reality is the question that you raise about the future and what are the implications when, in fact, the things we understood always to be bedrocks of our community, of our nation, are no longer that.
Amicus, a law review, Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
T. Schwaba. On the next Nightlight, I welcome Milwaukee Film Festival Program Director Kirsten Larson and Tim Sowers from the Overture Center in Madison discusses their new lineup. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with T. Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer engineer on the board. It is 6 past the hour, 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 on the big broadcast on this Monday. Back to work, back to school, April 21st, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Glad to have you along. Overcast skies at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. Mr. Zommers, a little chillier today. By Wednesday, sunny skies. Maybe 70 degrees in Madison.
Perhaps. I don't know. It's not too chilly. It's nice out, though, as long as you got a little jacket.
You will find me. The chairs came out this weekend or on Friday at Memorial Union on campus here at UW-Madison. The sunburst chairs. My favorite spot to chill out in nice weather in Madison. And Easter weekend was fantastic. Back home, spent a little time with the family back there. Got to see everybody. Good time was had by all. Some great ham. That was great. Made my niece's, first time they'd had it, my paternal grandmother's recipe of rich man pie. It's a very simple.
Rich man pie?
It used to be called poor man pie back in, I guess, in the Depression era. But it's a recipe from my great-great-grandmother. And it's basically just like a crust and butter and flour and sugar and vanilla. And you bake that. And they thought it was spectacular and. But it's a very simple thing to make, not very economical. That's why it came out of the Depression era. So always fun to pass down some of my maternal great-grandmother's recipe for rhubarb custard pie, which my mom and I still make. That's getting ready. The rhubarb's starting to come up. It's that time of year. Was outside doing a little gardening, and mom's helped out with a little gardening with mom, removing some of the dirt away from rose bushes and this type of thing. I can report to you, our regular listeners know the groundhog is still making his burrow under mom's back deck. He has not been. We're going to have to buy a new trap, a new live trap, because the one we have is too rusty. So that's the update on the groundhog. The groundhog, much like Spectrum, is still a thorn in my side. Lots to get to this hour. Many thanks, by the way, to Matt Flynn and Jimmy Cuska in hour number 1 for being here. Going to do what's worse in a minute. And also talk a little bit about the Democratic Party leadership. Be interested in your thoughts on this. I can't wait. But again, the top story of the day. And, you know, I grew up Methodist. I would say I'm non-denominational now. My mom goes Lutheran church. But had Matt Flynn on, a long time, lifelong practicing Catholic. And I think the passing of Pope Francis overnight gives pause. I mean, he is a world leader after all. At the Vatican and of Catholics all around the world, I thought this was an interesting take online, comparing Francis to his predecessors, of course, Benedict, his immediate predecessor, who focused on theological precision and was the first pope in forever to abdicate. his position. Before him, John Paul II, who emphasized doctrinal clarity. Francis, though, focused on encounter over enforcement, compassion over condemnation, dialogue over dogma. This is one of his quotes. I really like this from Pope Francis. Said, quote, "I see the church as a field hospital after battle. It is useless to ask a seriously injured person if he has high cholesterol and about the level of his blood sugar. You have to heal his wounds. Then we can talk about everything else." And I thought that was just so well said. The metaphor reveals his leadership philosophy. Meet people in their pain. Heal first, judge later. Go to the wounded rather than wait for them to come to you. I just view him as a man of great compassion. Former President Obama tweeted this out today. He said, quote, "Pope Francis was the rare leader who made us want to be better people. In his humility and his gestures, at once simple and profound, embracing the sick, ministering to the homeless, washing the feet of young prisoners, he shook us out of our complacency and reminded us that we are all bound by moral obligations to God and to one another. Today, Michelle and I mourn with everyone around the world, Catholic and non-Catholic alike, who drew strength and inspiration from the Pope's example. May we continue to heed his call to, quote, never remain on the sidelines of this march of living hope," unquote. Former President Obama with his words today. I would read a profound statement by the current president, but there is none. He simply just said he was a good guy. We're praying for him. And he was very proud of himself this morning, announcing that we were going to lower our flags to half mass. Not mast, but mass, in honor of Pope Francis.
You know?
So there's that.
I do question his literacy, but that's not new.
Right, but that's not new. But anyway, for those Catholics around the world and everyone, we mourn the loss of a man who I think tried his best, as we all do at whatever station we are in life. 12 minutes now past the hour, 1 o'clock, time once again for What's Worse? Let's go.
The choice is yours.
You can get with this. Time once again for What's Worse. No prize money involved, nothing to give away, but it is your chance to have your voice heard all across statewide radio, all 11 news, talk, sports stations in civic media. No better way to get your voice and product heard statewide than by advertising on Civic Media's radio network. You can find out how by going to civicmedia.us. All right, Zommers, timely indeed. As Mike Lucas likes to say, because I think over the Thanksgiving weekend, now I can tell you,
Easter.
I didn't. Why do I? This is like the fourth time in 3 days I have referred to Easter as Thanksgiving. What's going on? I don't know.
I don't know either.
There's no explanation. Clearly, I must have really enjoyed Thanksgiving this year, I did. Anyway, we spent time, a lot of folks over the Easter holiday spend time with family and friends. And so you're in usually a larger group than we normally would be. Sometimes you're sitting closer to people than you normally would. I will tell you, I did not have this experience this weekend, but some people might have. What's worse? Here's the category. What's worse? Bad breath or bad body odor? Bad breath or bad body odor? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. I'm laughing. The Civic Media app, if you don't have it, download it today. Go to your app store, go to your search bar, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up, little CM logo. Click on that. It'll download less than a minute. It's free. It's what CBS's Gail King calls a deal. The Civic Media app, get it today. I'm laughing because Zommer has just put up on the stream on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter X. We have a graphic for this on the stream, for What's Worse. And on the bad breath side, I thought that was Arnold Schwarzenegger first.
But it's not.
It's somebody else.
I don't know who it is, but it's not Arnold.
It's like two politicians, and they're basically greeting each other in suits, two guys, and they're kind of forehead to forehead. Very, very close. For
You're
bad
smell
breath.
The breath.
They can smell the breath. On the body odor side, When I first saw this graphic, I thought it was a woman like doing like her body in half and like.
Oh, I see how you saw that.
You know what I mean? Like.
But no,
it's not. It's not that. It's a woman smelling. Supposedly, I guess I can see the back of his head in the mirror shot. I guess her husband's underarm.
Right up in there. Right up in the armpit.
I don't know anybody who does that, by the way. I'm not sure. It's a real shot, by the way. Anyway, bad breath or bad body odor. Have you been in these types of situations before, Zomers?
Most certainly. I mean, well, anybody who went to junior high and high school definitely experienced these before kids learn what deodorant is. That's understandable.
Right. You go through puberty and all that sort of thing.
Yeah. So I don't fault people in that category.
No.
It's when you have adults who should be well adjusted.
Right.
And either never brush their teeth or never shower or anything.
Go ahead.
Recently, I was playing board games with some people, and one of them came from work, and I think he needs new shoes. it did not smell good.
It's foot odor. Which I guess is a form of body odor.
It's a specific category.
It's a specific category. You're absolutely right.
But he knew
that.
And he was like, yeah, sorry.
Wait a minute. If you know and you still – that's – you got to do something about that, man. I mean, you can at least buy – I mean, if you don't have money to buy new shoes, there's like foot powders or sprays or something that will help dramatically to neutralize that odor.
Yeah. Well, I imagine he'll be coming back another time, so we'll see.
We'll see.
I'll let you know how that situation develops.
What's worse, bad breath or bad body odor? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. Brian in Milwaukee, listening on WAUK. Brian, bad breath or bad body odor? What's worse?
I'm going to have to go with body odor.
Any particular reason? Any recent bad experiences?
Bad experience. Had a coworker once who, I don't know if she, I'm assuming she showered, but I don't know because every time we worked with this person,
really,
it reeked the whole shift. And even after the person left the area, it reeked. And it's just like, oh my God.
That's what it hangs in the air, right? They call that, it just hangs in the air.
Right.
Right.
I mean, at least if it's bad breath, you can grab some mouthwash or a mint or something like that. But there was no amount of Febreze or anything that's going to clean up that mess.
No amount of Febreze. That's a great line. I know what you're talking
about. Not a problem. I'm here all day.
I appreciate it, Brian. Thank you so much, Brian, in Milwaukee. Yep. What's worse, bad breath or bad body odor? Boy, that's... And because I think we've all been there, like where we wake up, you know, in the morning, we're running late, and there's one day you don't take a shower. But that there also is chronic people. That's just our ongoing contributor, Jeff Perry, on Facebook says, "Are you referring to me?" No, Jeff. No, Jeff and I worked together a long time. I don't ever recall Jeff having either bad body odor or bad breath.
You know, we weren't going to say your name. You called yourself out.
855-752-4842. Mark in Prairie du Sac. Mark. Bad breath or bad body odor? What's worse?
Well, this is some years ago when I was still working, and there was a guy that you could tell who it was before he even turned around and saw him. You
know, really? That distinct?
You know, like eight feet away from the guy, and just, I don't know what the guy's problem was, but it was just something else. I mean, that it was just pretty wretched.
That's where the paint on the walls is starting to peel. All right, we'll kill on back a little bit more. What's worse, bad body odor or bad breath? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. It's the All Ball Show for Monday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In one of his most bone-chilling orders to date, President Donald Trump directed the U.S. Department of Justice and other agencies to open an investigation of Christopher Krebs, the former head of the Cybersecurity Infrastructure and Security Agency. Krebs' alleged crime? Publicly refuting Trump's unfounded claims of widespread fraud in the 2020 election. Trump's April 9th memorandum reads in part, Krebs, through CISA, falsely and baselessly denied that the 2020 election was rigged and stolen, including by inappropriately and categorically dismissing widespread election malfeasance and serious vulnerabilities with voting machines, unquote. On November 12, 2020, Krebs had posted a joint statement from the Elections Infrastructure Government Coordinating Council and the Election Infrastructure Sector Coordinating Executive Committees, which said the November 3rd election was the most secure in American history, and there was no evidence that any voting system deleted or lost votes, changed votes, or was in any way compromised. The two groups represent CISA, Secretaries of State, State Election Directors, and numerous election technology and cybersecurity organizations. In addition to ordering the investigation, Trump stripped Krebs' security clearance and that of Sentinel One, the cybersecurity company where Krebs worked until his resignation April 16th. We have Trump's disturbing memo at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This message is sponsored by WiskCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WiskCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WiskCaregiver.com.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This one goes out to the groundhog under Todd's mom's porch.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past 1 o'clock on Monday, April 21st. Zahmer is sending that out to the groundhog under mom's porch, which is still free. It's still free. It has not been captured yet. Who sings that?
That's Soundgarden. Oh. Rusty Cage. And yeah, I'm going to break my rusty cage and run.
Well, he got all of, he got the lettuce. He got the cantaloupe. By the way, thank you to our listeners. They were spot on. I took suggestions on the air. What could lure a groundhog so we could live trap it? And all the recommendations were spot on.
The trap was just too old.
The trap was too old. Category right now, what's worse, bad breath or bad body odor? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, bad breath or bad body odor? Let's go to the text line here. Got several of the, coming in right now on the old text line. Bad breath or bad body odor. Megan, listening in Sun Prairie on WMDX, says body odor, bringing back bad memories of anime conventions now. Thanks, Todd. Well, we try. Jay, listening in Eau Claire on WCFW, the tap up in the valley, Chippewa Valley, says, I think body odor is worse, or by is far worse. I've gotten in a car with a bunch of teenage boys to a football game, and it stinks so bad. Yeah, back in the days when I used to run a church youth group, yeah, there were guys that, yeah, guys, take a shower. But yeah, again, to your point earlier, Zahmer, at that age, bodies are changing everything. You kind of like, you know, they don't always sense that. And so you kind of give them some grace. But I mean, once you're a true adult, I mean, come on, you know, unless you're running late occasionally or whatever. But
or sometimes there's a medical reason in which case you should do something about it.
Right.
Like if you have chronically terrible breath, you need to see a dentist. For example,
mouthwash, right? Or just brush your
teeth.
Well,
if it's always like absolutely rancid, you should see a dentist because there could be deeper problems.
I'm not going to say who, but I once knew someone, not a close friend, but this was more of someone told me this story from their family that someone, because I think the medical term is halitosis.
Yeah.
Halitosis. And the guy had bad halitosis. And so he finally got engaged to a girl. And the grandfather said, well, he's just lucky because with halitosis like that, I don't think he'd ever get married. It happens.
It happens.
It happens, yeah. Tyler in Columbia County, listening on WMDX, says he was calling earlier about what Jimmy Cusk and I were talking about, the shot clock in high school. Says the added cost of wiring is what has prevented some of us from doing it, but also the added personnel needed for it. It isn't helping with budgets for the shot clock. Well, that's a great point, Tyler. Very good point, actually. Any other things do we have here on what's worse?
L.A. Tom says, I lost my sense of smell from COVID, but the worst is bad breath. Woke up with someone who had bad breath, and it was the last date.
Isn't that the truth, right? Isn't that the truth? Well, if you're dating someone that has bad breath, especially, like, if you've been dating an individual for a while, and you, like, have, there's a certain amount. I think, I mean, let's just say it. Let's just be honest. Like, I think in dating life, the point that you reach the comfort zone is when you can fart in front of each other and not have it be embarrassing.
I guess I'm just comfortable with everyone then.
Well, I wouldn't recommend that on a first date. But
if I got a fart, I got a fart. I can't not fart.
Yes, you. Well, let's not go too far down that path, but there's some control, I think, over that.
I'm not just going to rip a massive one, but.
But I think L.A. Tom brings up a good point. If you're dating someone and they just, you know, I don't know, if the breath isn't fresh, that's tough. That's really tough. What's worse, bad breath or body odor? 855-752-4842. Still taking a couple things off the text line there, but do you have a preference, Zomers? What do you think? Bad breath or body odor?
I mean, I think bad breath, when it's truly terrible, usually makes me want to gag more.
That's a good point.
But I don't know. Yeah, I think it can be easier to get away from, but when you're trapped in a one-on-one conversation, I think that the worst bad breath is worse than the worst body odor. So I'm going to say bad breath is worse.
Now, that's a great point.
At least that I've smelled.
The worst bad breath is worse than the worst body odor.
At least from what I have smelled, now, and I am okay with that.
Now, on the flip side, and this is a broadcasting 101 thing, because when you're a broadcaster, I mean, everybody's different. So whether it's bad breath or bad body odor or perfumes and colognes, that's the other one that's for me. When you're, you know,
that's
just
a whole other question.
If you're in broadcasting, you don't wear cologne or perfume to work. It's just because people's throats can get sensitive or whatever. So I will say that lots of perfume or cologne sometimes is actually worse than body odor. And also Matthew McConaughey, he's one of these guys who like doesn't shower that often because he likes his own scent. As the kids say, low key, I've dated a couple of guys that like, not like days or whatever, but like just a little bit of that like natural scent. Not the worst.
It can be good. As long as it's not overpowering.
Right. You don't, I mean, I'm not talking about some guy that doesn't shower for a week or something like that. But I think, you know, and I think when you date someone, male or female, I think everybody has, right? That's why, you know, dogs, right? Everybody has their own unique scent. It's a little bit natural. Then that's one thing. If it's just gagging, that's I don't know. So a listener on WMDX says, geez, guys, pick a less gross topic. Fair enough. I don't know. I think it's also real world. We're very real here with people. Bad breath or bad body odor, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. I'm going to say, if I had to choose, I think you're right. I'm going to go with you, Zomers. Bad breath. Bad breath, ultimately, at its worst, is worse than bad. When I've been around people with bad body odor, I can usually kind of just breathe shallow and get through it. But boy, if you're right in a direct conversation with someone that has really bad breath, that ain't good. Peel the paint off the walls, as they say. All right, well, that was a fun edition. That was a fun edition of What's Worse. Join us tomorrow. We will not have another edition tomorrow, but we'll have another edition on Wednesday. We'll come back, tell you what tomorrow's show is for Earth Day. Very excited about that. And more political topics. It's the All Balls Show on Civic Media's Radio Network. Gonna break my rusty cage.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. In the city government to start the week here in La Crosse, there are four committees scheduled to hold meetings today. The Board of Public Works, Board of Zoning Appeals, Aviation Board, and Board of Harbor Commissioners will meet. There are also meetings later in the week for the Redevelopment Authority and Economic and Community Development Commission. With construction season beginning, there have been dozens of rezoning and permit requests for the city government to consider so far in 2025. The La Crosse County Board passed a resolution and sent it to state and federal legislators urging Congress to avoid cutting funds for Medicaid. In particular, the county mentions the potential for losing funding for mandated programs for children and the elderly, skilled nursing services, WIC, and mental health. The resolution states that the proposed federal cuts would devastate the county's budget to continue providing those services, and that the bill may pass too quickly for the public to understand the local impacts. Federal budget cuts planned in a bill currently in Congress are set to close over two dozen research laboratories and collaborative offices for the NOAA. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
If the plan is enacted, it would close all of NOAA's weather, climate, and ocean laboratories and cooperative institutes. And without that research, the National Weather Service weather models and products will stagnate. The scientific backbone and workforce needed to keep weather forecasts, alerts, and warnings accurate and effective will be drastically reduced.
Already, the agency has been affected by mass layoffs of probationary employees by the Trump administration the past 2 months. This week will be very spring-like with multiple chances for rain, but a warm-up is on the way as well. Highs today will reach the mid-50s, but it will be windy and cloudy. There's a chance of showers each of the next 5 days. By Wednesday and Thursday, we'll have temperatures right around 70 degrees here in the Cooley region. Our best chance of widespread rain is Thursday into Friday, when temperatures will fall slightly into the 60s. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now from your device's app store or at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The new Star Wars film officially has a title, and it's called Star Wars Starfighter. The film's lead actor will be Ryan Gosling, and it will be directed by Sean Levy, whose previous credits include, well, pretty much everything. Levy has directed the recent smash Deadpool and Wolverine, all three Night at the Museum films, and executive produced Stranger Things. Gosling's last big film was The Fall Guy, so I'm sure he's eager to wash that taste out of his mouth. Star Wars Starfighter hits theaters May 28th of 2027. There is something about podcasts that seems to help celebrities open up. Emilio Estevez recently appeared on the Happy, Sad, Confused podcast. Host Josh Horowitz asked The Outsiders actor what the worst note he ever got from a director was. Estevez says, on the set of St. Elmo's Fire, director Joel Schumacher screamed at the top of his lungs, "Have a good bleeping time." Estevez says Schumacher was a bully and wildly insecure. He also made a very mediocre Batman movie. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Still battling a brutal wind today, gusting up to 30 to 40 miles per hour under mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures stay mild though, scraping the low 50s before we warm things up to about the mid-60s tomorrow. But chances of scattered showers and some thunderstorms. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 49.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
If you could change your name, if you could pick your own name, what would you change it to? Daniel Wheeler says, linguistically, Pete's last name is interesting because it requires a wet mouth. Requires a wet mouth to pronounce it correctly. Pete Schwabba, you have to have a wet mouth to say that? That sounds so perverse, Daniel.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, a discussion of the harm that's coming if President Trump sells off a bunch of public forest lands and fires more national parks workers.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Pursuing truth. truth wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 now past the hour, 1 o'clock. It's Monday, April 21st, 2025. Glad to have you along. Zommers on the board. Quick update, breaking news for you from CBS at this hour. They now know why Pope Francis passed away overnight. Officials saying that Pope Francis died from a stroke that led to a coma and heart failure, according to the Vatican. Pope Francis passing away overnight. Although he'd been in poor health for some time, he nearly died a few weeks ago due to pneumonia, but had rallied and was at the Vatican, was outside talking to parishioners, talking to the world without his oxygen on, and then got in the Pope mobile and kind of went around Vatican Square. A lot of people thought he was rallying or happy to see him. So just the fact that he was alive 24 hours ago and it was so sudden gave people pause, I think, as we woke up this morning. But now the Vatican's saying that the Pope has passed away due to a stroke that led to a coma and heart failure. I'm sure we will continue to hear more about that in the hours and weeks ahead. Oh, I know. I said to Zommers over the break, I said I was going to talk about something on the other side. What was it? And neither one of us could remember it. And as Denny Crane said in Boston Legal, the great TV show of years ago, mad cow. I got the mad cow disease, which I occasionally still have. Anyway, what I was going to talk about is some of the lineup changes coming. But tomorrow for Earth Day is tomorrow. We have a great lineup for you tomorrow, including Tia Nelson, who is the daughter of former U.S. Senator and Governor of Wisconsin, Gaylord Nelson, who was the founder of Earth Day. Earth Day is tomorrow, and we're once again going to be taking the show on the road and going out to Governor Nelson State Park on the other side of Madison, the north side, right along Lake Mendota there, and doing the show. Tia Nelson is going to join us. It'll be a good time had by all. She is fantastic, and talking about her dad and the ongoing work of Tia Nelson. Also on the show tomorrow, former Wisconsin Republican State Senator Rob Coles. Of course, he had the bill that was signed into law that changed the Wisconsin State Park stickers to be annual stickers that matched up with the calendar. And he is also a supporter of the Knowles Nelson Stewardship Fund, which right now is in a little bit of danger in the legislature. So Senator Coles will be on with us tomorrow to talk with Tia Nelson about that. You know, they've known each other a long time. Tia, of course, a Democrat. Senator Coles, a Republican, but have always found ways to work in a bipartisan manner on conservation. So Senator Coles will be here. And also James Edward Mills, a historian, great activist, and really one of the preeminent people who knows the history of Wisconsin's state parks, which are celebrating 125 years this year, and also on the history in particular of Black Americans. Little known fact, and doesn't get talked about nearly enough, but the great state parks that we and national parks that we enjoy, many of those parks were built by Black Americans, and their story isn't often told enough. So James Edward Mills will be here tomorrow. And then tomorrow night at UW-Madison's campus, Tia Nelson and James Edward Mills are going to be putting on a presentation. So we'll talk about that. So big Earth Day show live from Governor Nelson State Park. We hope you join us tomorrow for that. And that'll be our final show in this time slot, in the key phrase, in this time slot. So we're just moving back a couple of hours because, quite frankly, I need more sleep.
It wouldn't hurt me either.
No. We're a few lineup changes, and so that's going to be fantastic. We're just going to be a couple of hours later. So tomorrow, normal time, noon to 2, and then on hump day, we're going to hump back a couple of spaces, a couple of hours, and so we'll be coming at you starting at 2 o'clock each afternoon from 2 until 4, right after Tom Hartman and right before Maggie Dawn. So it's going to go Pat Kreitlow and the Pat Kreitlow Morning Show from 6 until 9. And then it's going to be our great friend Jane Matt Nair. Well, Pat Kreitlow's a great friend too. Jane Matt Nair and Greg Bach with Matt Nair on air from 9 until 10. And then 9 until 11. And then 11 until 2, Tom Hartman, the big national show, is going to be on the air. And then we're going to come on after Tom Hartman. So you can make a national show, and then you get us.
and then Maggie Dawn.
And then Maggie Dawn comes after us, and it'll be spectacular. And then we got Pete Schwabe at Nightlight. The one guy, Pete Schwabe, this is how good Pete Schwabe is. He's so good and so solid, they just looked at Pete Schwabe and said, We can't improve that
Don't
show.
Don't fix what ain't
we
broke.
We can't improve Nightlight. And they just said, we're leaving him right there.
So Pete Schwabe, the rock of civic media.
Exactly right. No, always entertaining, always. It's a great way to end your day. So stay tuned for Pete Schwabe. And important to note that Earl Ingram isn't going anywhere, by the way. He's going to still be with Civic Media, and he'll be doing a podcast. He's going to be appearing on different programs throughout Civic Media. He is starting a new special correspondent series on lead pipes in Milwaukee, which he has done a lot of work with. So be glad to have Earl Ingram Jr. still part of Civic Media as well. And as L.A. Tom points out, and this will really confuse people, yes, we are still on noon to 2 in the Pacific time zone.
We're also still on 12 to 2, as in our show is going to get replayed every night at midnight.
Zomers, so if you're up late, our show is going to get replayed every day at 12 midnight until 2 a.m.
Now that we've thoroughly confused you.
Which I'm told now we get to add in spicy content for the replay. Is that true?
Do we? I don't know. Oh, okay. We'll have to look into that.
No. Tomorrow, noon till 2, and then starting on Wednesday, will be 2 until 4, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Let's get to this. This is a little newsy today. Some new news on Mr. Hegseth. Pete Hegseth. Remember him? Secretary of Defense, Fox News boy, correspondent, was a veteran, applauded for that military service, but never really led a lot of troops or anything like that. As reported, and he has not really denied it that much, has a little bit of trouble with the bottle. And I'm not talking the baby bottle either. And yet Trump wanted a sycophant, which is a fancy word for a yes man, at Department of Defense. So he puts him up there at Department of Defense. Well, it turns out that Pete Hegseth was talking about military orders on this chat platform known as Signal. And it's not overseen by Department of Defense or the military. Makes it much more hackable for our enemies like China and Russia to figure out what's going on. And so he's talking about military strikes on Signal with this group chat, in which he inadvertently puts in a reporter from The Atlantic who exposes all this, and White House and Hegseth admit that it's all true. This happened, which gave a lot of pause to people, not certainly in military, but certainly people like me who never served, but during my time in a congressional office helped with military affairs, just something that's not done. Here now, new reporting this morning, President Trump today denies that the Pentagon has become dysfunctional with Secretary Pete Hegseth at the helm. Quote, there is no dysfunction at all. All the Houthis, ask the Houthis how much dysfunction they have, Trump said in a question and answer today on the White House lawn for the big Easter egg roll contest. CNN reported this morning that Hegseth shared detailed plans about a military operation against the Houthis in Yemen on a second Signal group chat. This one, his personal phone, which included his wife, lawyer, and brother. Meanwhile, some of Hegseth's closest advisors, including three former senior officials he fired last week, have been warning the Pentagon has descended into chaos. Trump went on to defend Hegseth even more. Trump and Hegseth spoke last night by phone, according to the New York Times, after CNN reported on the sharing of the detailed military operation plans in that second Signal group chat. And he fired a couple, three of these people, but several of his, like his chief of staff, his deputy chief of staff, basically the closest people who had been around the Pentagon for a long time, all said, this is it. We're out of here. This place is dysfunctional. And now, according to our own Dan Schaefer at the Recombobulation Area and our political editor here at Civic Media, reporting that United States, Wisconsin, United States Senator Tammy Baldwin tweeted this, quote, We have known this for a long time. Pete Hegseth is not fit for the job, and now he's putting service members at risk. Wisconsinites in uniform deserve better. It's time for Hegseth to go, unquote. That from Wisconsin U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin this afternoon. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What do you think of this? I mean, to me, as someone who did not wear a uniform, but was around a lot of folks who have, and have a great deal of respect and admiration for our men and women in uniform and veterans, this to me is not a Republican or Democratic issue. This is an American issue. You can't have the person at the top of the U.S. Defense Department giving out information to private individuals. Most people in high-level political and especially military jobs will tell you there are things they cannot discuss even with their spouse, let alone their brother or their attorney, anybody else. It's just not done. And when you do this, especially on a non-secured line or device, meaning that the U.S. military or Secret Service or CIA don't have control over it, you are opening up the people who hate us the most in Russia and China and other bad actors from intercepting that information and then allowing our service members, be it military, CIA, FBI in the field, to be killed. All right? It's putting our dads, our moms, our brothers, our sisters, our nieces and nephews, our friends, anybody who wears a uniform at risk. So in my opinion, good on Senator Baldwin for calling for Hegseth's resignation or firing. As our friend Matt Flynn likes to say, the guy is bad news. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Troy in Mount Horeb calling in. Troy, thanks for calling. We'll see you.
Yeah, I think he needed his wife to read the big words for him.
Well, that could be. That could be right.
No, this is awful.
No, it really is, and it's just
these conversations.
Yeah.
He's using his personal phone for this, right, which is worse than using his issued phone,
yeah,
for it, because there's a lot better chance of that being compromised than his issued phone.
Yeah.
So everything he does is just wrong.
Yeah, totally agree. Thanks, Troy. Appreciate the call. Casper, listening, yep, on WMDX, says he's clearly incompetent, Hegseth. This may even be criminal, unquote. Agree, Casper. 855-752-4842. Dick, listening on WMDX in Madison. Dick, thanks for calling. What say you?
Yeah, it's a matter of security of the whole country and everybody in the armed services. But I've got an idea how Trump can save him, because he likes the guy. So I think what he should do, you know how he's all big on this big birthday parade that he wants to have?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
He should move him over and create a event planner. And he could do that. And he'd do PR work, because,
right,
obviously, I mean, Trump wants everybody in the world to know about his birthday. And if there's, mm-hmm, anybody that could take care of it,
Pete Hegseth.
Pete Hegseth. Yeah, so make him an event planner.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What do you think of this? Hegseth now a second signal gate. And U.S. Senator from Wisconsin, Tammy Baldwin, now calling on Hegseth to go. Either resign or, be fired by Trump. So quickly to Brookfield. Jim in Brookfield got about 40 seconds. Jim, it's all yours. What do you say?
I say Tammy Baldwin's actually, she's 100% correct. He's in over his head. The guy, he's not qualified. And his whole mission of eliminating DEI, I mean, come on, you don't want a diverse, equal, and inclusive military? I mean, let's stick to the basic facts here. Defend our country rather than worrying about DEI. The guy is in over his head.
Yeah, totally agree. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call. Come on back. We'll wrap things up, switch gears, and talk about the Democratic Party, why one of the leaders thinks that the way to get to the majority is to get rid of some Democrats. We'll explain to the other side. Don't go anywhere. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM.
Every year, millions of pets go missing. leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use platform uses photo-matching technology across multiple media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.com.
Matt Nair on air.
Deb Cronmiller from the League of Women Voters talking about the SAVE Act.
The kind of voter fraud that this SAVE Act is targeting would be non-citizen voter fraud.
There is no evidence of this. Zero.
Non-citizens, no. They're not eligible to vote.
There is no reason to increase these restrictions on voting except to stop people who might not vote for them.
Matt Nair on air. Moving soon to its new time. Weekday morning 9 to 11 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Starr joins us here on Nightlight. Your timing, good fellas, Mike. What you just said was an ad lib to De Niro. He's like, security, and you're like, you're looking at him.
Well, that whole scene was improvised. And Paul Hip, he said, make sure you don't call it ad libbing. It's improvisation. It was quite a process that Martin Scorsese put us through over a few days that it would come out like that. It wasn't just like, hey, how you doing?
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, where it is 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC and CBS News, followed by a check of local news in your area. Some weather. Our great sports reporter Mike Clemens focusing in. The Brewers, by the way, playing late tonight on stations in Richland Center, Oshkosh, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Hayward. Pregame at 8:10 tonight. Going to be a late one if you want to listen to the Brewers. Taking on the San Francisco Giants out in the Bay. Again, starts at 8:10 tonight for the pregame show tonight on the Brewers Radio Network here on Civic Media. And then at after the sports report with Mike Clemens, the Maggie Dawn Show from 2 until 4. At 6 o'clock, our friend Pete Schwalbe with another edition of Nightlight. All right. I find this, as someone who used to be a Republican, left the party in 2011, I do not belong to any party these days, although I vote for Democrats. In fact, I've voted exclusively for Democrats since 2011. But I'm not part of the Democratic Party, mind you. I run a lot of campaigns from city council, county sheriff races, DA races, state Senate, state assembly, congressional races. I have never heard of this strategy before, and this is real. Late last week, over the weekend, Democratic National Committee Vice Chair David Hogg unveiled his play. He's the vice chair of the National Democratic Committee, just got elected to this. And he also has his own private PAC, Political Action Committee. He announced that he plans to spend $20 million to primary older Democratic incumbents in Congress. Now, I'm going to paraphrase this because we're up against the clock. David Hogg, mid to late 20-year-old kid, and look, he went through the Parkland shooting down in Florida. Give him credit for a lot of advocacy that he's done. But this guy's coming into the National Committee now saying that they're going to target incumbent Democrats who he feels are not voting progressive or left enough and or are simply too old to be there in his opinion. And they're going to run younger, more progressive Democrats against a sitting Democrat in a primary. Now, he says they're only going to do this in safe Democratic seats. I've never heard of a wackier, harebrained, ridiculous strategy in my life. 20 million. Now think about this for a second. Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. You got Derek Van Orten. Bad news over there, Republican. Why wouldn't you take part of that 20 million and defeat current Republicans who are MAGA folks to try to flip the Congress and then take control of Congress?
Especially in a district like that, where no matter your political affiliation, it's really difficult to argue genuinely that Derek Van Orden is doing anything good for anyone
right.
besides himself.
Even his own constituents. But no. David Hogg, the Democratic National Committee vice chair, says, no, we're going to spend $20 million to take out fellow Democrats who are either too old or not voting progressive enough. And I know on this program before I've said things like, I criticize the far right and the far left. And people say, well, Todd, give us an example of the far left. Exhibit A, David Hogg. This guy is far left. All right? And by the way, I would love to get a quote. I'd love to find out. Gwendolyn Moore, congresswoman from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, in a safe Democratic seat. Former member of the state legislature. Met her, know her, does great work. I wonder what Democrats in Wisconsin think of this. Gwendolyn Moore is 74 years old. I don't know. According to David Hogg, she's got to go. David Hogg is going to ramp it up, take Gwen Moore out. Mark Pocan, he's older than me. No spring chicken. So there's two safe Democratic seats in Wisconsin's congressional delegation, Gwen Moore and Mark Pocan. David Hogg apparently thinks they both got to go. Who died and made this guy king? I mean, this guy is wacko cuckoo birds. And if Democrats think that this is the way to get back to the majority, Republicans are going to sit there and say, keep on going. I've never heard of a strategy. I mean, that is, and Republicans are doing this as well, because Republicans in the state of Wisconsin want to take out Brian Schimming. And you've got this group based out of Arizona, a far right MAGA group. And they're coming in Wisconsin and taking over the parties in Milwaukee, Green Bay, and Dane County. And they want to get rid of Schimming. And they don't want any compromise, zero sum game. You're either with MAGA and Trump 100% or you're gone. And this guy, David Hogg, is as dangerous on the left as the MAGA people are on the right. I spent 30 years in politics, a lot of time in the building up the street, i.e. the Capitol. And rarely did things ever get done by playing a zero-sum game. The best politics are pragmatic. You get 75% of the loaf and you move on. You get some, you give some. That's the best legislation. When people on both sides of the aisle on the extremes are ticked off at you, you know you're probably doing something right. I really hope that Democrats take a step back here and realize the harm this guy David Hogg is doing to their party. I wonder how Gwen Moore feels. And Mark Pocan. Not good. Not good at all. All right, great show today. Thanks for Matt Flynn. By the way, I talked to Matt Flynn about this, and Matt's pretty much in line with me on this. Matt Flynn, thank you very much. Appreciate you. Jimmy Cuska, thank you so very much. Also, Aaron Zommers, appreciate you, all of you, for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with a special Earth Day edition of the show, live from Governor Nelson State Park with Tia Nelson and many more. Hope you join us for that. Until then, whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, keep banging your drum. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Earl Ingram.
It's the final episode of The Earl Ingram Show. I want to thank everybody. I'll share on how to stay connected, and then attorney Scott Harris will join me in the studio to share his inspiring story.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
And from Chippewa Falls.
What are Republicans voting for? If they're not voting for Medicare, Medicaid, clean energy, clean water.
Tax cuts for billionaires. You wouldn't get a lot of votes for that. So you have to create an enemy. And somebody says, blame all these people like women and immigrants and black and brown folks. Your brain will sometimes want to accept that because it's the easiest of off ramps to all of the anxiety and existential fear that you've got.
The Maggie Dawn Show, moving soon to its new time, weekdays 4 until 6 on Civic Media and on the app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. Soaring high above La Crosse, this is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. The Vatican released the death certificate of Pope Francis, saying the Pope suffered a cerebral stroke. ABC News medical contributor Dr. Darian Sutton has more.
So we understand so far that he suffered a cerebral stroke that resulted in a coma as well as cardiovascular collapse. And so those can often be complications of long, complicated hospital courses. The stroke, of course, affecting the brain, cardiovascular collapse affecting the heart and the circulation system.
The Pope died earlier today at St. Peter's Square tonight. The faithful gathering for a nighttime rosary prayer service in his honor. Francis, born in Argentina, dedicated his life to charity and served Catholics around the world, becoming the first Latin and first Jesuit to serve as Pope. The 88-year-old who battled pneumonia made his final appearance at Easter services. Following his funeral, cardinals will convene to vote on a new leader of the 1.4 billion Catholics. This is ABC News.